Good. Well, if you were with us last week, you will know we were talking about the prayer of Jabez. And, of course, we've been praying into that over the last few days. And some of the things that have just been shared with Tim and Linda, I think, really fit in with that, about the blessing and favour of the Lord. And, of course, we focused on those just two verses with regard to Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4. And it says, Jabez was an honourable man, more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And then Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. He says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. What a great thing. And of course, we've been praying according to that this week. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be going into a series looking about the blessing and abundance and favour of God. And Hugh's going to really take us into that next week, starting next week. But today, I just wanted to take the opportunity, we're going to share communion together, and just to reflect on that in the light of what we've just been talking about and what we've just been praying about. Because each one of us, in a new year and throughout the year, we all have choices. Daily we have choices. You will have chosen what you had for breakfast if you had breakfast. But then there are significant choices that we make as well. And the front row's laughing. I don't know why. It will become clear later, no doubt. And the choices we make sometimes have a real impact on the blessing and favour of God on our lives, or the lack of it, or indeed, dare I say, judgment. Oh, hang on a minute, David, that sounds a bit Old Testament. The judgment of God. Aren't we living in the day of grace, the day of God's favour, the day of God's mercy and blessing? You know, we can think about the Old Testament classic examples of, you know, Deuteronomy 28, where if you read that, if you obey the Lord, God says to his people, I will bless you at home. I'll bless you when you're working. I'll bless you out and about. And you get these 14 incredible verses at the beginning of Deuteronomy 28, all about the blessing of favor of God. And you think, fantastic. And then you go into the next verses. In fact, there's 54 verses. Actually, God says, if you don't obey me, you're going to have trouble with this, you're going to have trouble with that, you're going to sense you're under a curse, you're going to have judgment, etc. So we all like to focus on the first 14 verses. Or is it just me? But that's Old Testament, isn't it? But then, of course, with the coming of Jesus, we step into this new, we call it dispensation, this time, this season that we're in, of the grace of God. And we're going to look at this whole thing of communion, something that we share together with on a regular basis. Because I believe if we can approach communion well, then it can have a real impact on the blessing of God in our lives. Let's read some verses. I mean, how many of you really want to experience what we finished off with last week, which was there in Malachi chapter 3, which was, you know, see, God says, test me and see if I will not throw open very floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to store it. That's a declaration of God's intent for us, his people. And as we go into the New Testament and we think about communion, I want to initially go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles or your electronic device and you want to look it up, please follow with me. I'm going to read from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 onwards. And this is Paul, the apostle, speaking. He said, I received from the Lord what also I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. That's powerful, isn't it? It's very powerful. That as we come, we approach this time of communion, this sharing together, in a very considered way. And we're going to think about that for a few minutes this morning. And I believe if we're going to live under the blessing of God that we've been talking about and thinking about and praying about over the last few weeks, we need to do things well. And when we come to share communion together in our corporate settings, whether it's here on a Sunday, and some of you do it in your group settings as well during the week, we need to do these things well. And of course, when you think about communion, which is often a term that we use, there are a number of terms in Scripture that you may find. And so you will find in 1 Corinthians 11, a little bit earlier, verse 20, you'll hear it called the Lord's Supper. Verse 20, it says, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. Basically, Paul was admonishing the church in Corinth and saying, actually, what you're doing is not good. You need to consider what you're doing. You need to, if you're hungry, you need to eat at home. But this is about focusing on the Lord. And it's, of course, referred to the Lord's Supper, reflecting on the time when Jesus met with his disciples, had that meal with them just prior to his trial and subsequent crucifixion. And of course, we read all that in Matthew 26. Verse 26, it says, while Jesus and his disciples were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Could you imagine the scene for a moment? Jesus is sat around having this meal with his disciples, this Passover meal, with all the implications of that. And then he's saying, actually, this is my body, which is broken for you, as he takes this bread and he rips it apart. And he says, and of course, they'd have been thinking, what is he on about? And it wouldn't have become clear till a few days later on, when the revelation comes of actually, this was what Jesus was talking about, his trial and his subsequent death on a cross. And then he said, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. How many of you are glad that God made a covenant with each one of us to forgive our sins? And it's a lasting covenant. It didn't last for a few moments or a few days. It is a lasting covenant. So it's called the Lord's Supper, or here we find as well in 1 Corinthians 10, it's called the Lord's Table, or the Table of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21, Paul says this, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot have a part in both, the Lord's table and the table of demons. You know, when we come together to share communion, it should challenge our priorities and our lifestyle. Actually, have we got our feet in a number of camps? Or are we here to say, Lord, I really do want to serve you and honor you with my life? As we come and share, he's saying, where are your feet planted? Where is your focus? And this table, this whole sense of a table, is that tense sense of a feast, isn't it? Come to a feast. Come to celebrate. Come to give thanks. Come to receive. Come, and this whole thing about come. Receive the love of God afresh in your lives today. And to recognize that this place, and as we, it's a wonderful thing to come together and to do it as the body of Christ, to share together in these moments of communion. You and I are intrinsically linked together through the blood of Jesus. Whether you like it or not, I'm now related to you. You know, there's the old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. Huh? We're in this. We're in this family of God. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to come together, whether it's in this setting or in our groups during the week. And of course, we refer to it as communion as well, don't we? And 1 Corinthians 10, again, I'll read from the New King James. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion means that intimate relationship and connection. And when we come together, it is a moment where we can take time, just a moment of intimacy with our God, to give thanks and to honour him. We call it breaking of bread, don't we? That's referred to in Acts chapter 20. The disciples regularly, it said the first day of the week when the disciples came together, they broke bread to remember and to give thanks and to honour their Lord. So we've got a number of terms through Scripture that we use. And then, of course, there's one or two non-biblical terms that have crept into religious jargon and practice in some of our denominations. And, of course, you may have heard the word Eucharist, that some of the traditional denominations use. And the word comes from a Greek word, which means to give thanks. And isn't it important that when we come together, to give we give thanks to the Lord for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins? Why do we give thanks? Because we have been forgiven. God has shown us incredible mercy. We've been singing about it this morning. He has made us righteous. We have had forgiveness. You know, when I was when I was 9 years of old, I prayed a very simple prayer to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. And it was a great moment, and I remember distinctly that moment today. But I struggled for some while afterwards with this whole thing of communion. I didn't feel in those early days that I was still worthy to be able to come and share this. I hadn't been a Christian long. Has everything been sorted in my life? Well, the answer was no. Is it still sorted? Well, we're on a journey. But what God says is this. That moment when I come into your life, when you're forgiven of your sins, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And if there are people here today and you're struggling with this whole concept of communion, should I go? Am I worthy? If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, if you've asked him to come into your life, the Bible says the old has gone, the new has come. It's a new day. It's a new birth. You're a brand new person. See, here's the challenge. Because the whispers of the enemy, the devil, will try and always tell us we are never good enough. You are not as good, and they'll point fingers to other people. They'll say you'll never be like them. But here's the deal. God says you're a brand new creature. The old has gone. The new has come. Don't hold back like I did in those early days until I got that understanding that actually I can come. And whatever's gone on this last week, I can still come. I can ask the Lord if I need to ask for forgiveness, I can ask for forgiveness. But I can still come. Because I'm his child and he loves me incredibly. And here's the deal, he loves you too. And he wants the very best for you. He doesn't want you to miss out on moments of intimacy with him. Sometimes you may hear it called a sacrament. It comes from the Latin word to be holy or to set apart. And when we come together and share communion, it's that time, it is a time to reverence our God. And Amory mentioned a song, and I looked up the words myself, that song that talks about a holy moment. This is a holy moment. When we come and share communion together, and of course when we come and there's a lot of movement and people are moving around, and it's not always easy, but let's try to remember it's a holy moment when we can meet with our God and talk with him and give thanks to him. And come with expectation, because God wants to meet with us in that moment of communion. And that song goes on to say, he is here with us now. He is here with us now. And as we share communion this morning, I want you to remember that he is here with us now. This God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for each one of us. So the foundation of this practice, this ordinance, if you will, deeply rooted in Scripture, even way back, I suppose, from the very beginnings of time as we know it in Genesis, where God's desire was to have relationship with man. That time when Adam and Eve had made their mistake, but yet God came in Genesis 3, and man heard God calling out, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" And I believe God may be calling out to some people here today, "Where are you? Are you here for communion with me today?" And we share bread, which Jesus took and gave thanks, and he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you." This is his love demonstrated for each one of us. Jesus, of course, called himself, "I am the bread of life." You know, when you've accepted Jesus into your life, it brings life. Whole new dimension. Life like no other. Life in abundance. And of course, we share wine together, which Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. All of you, drink from it. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Only the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse us from sin and its effects in our lives. And when we ask Jesus to forgive us, we are drawing on that provision through the cross of Jesus that he died for us. So how should we approach this time of communion, which we'll do in a few moments? Well, I believe it is a time of remembrance. A time to remember, to reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is a time of communion. That time of focusing on him, where he says, "Are you here? Where are you?" And he wants to come in close relationship. He wants to speak into our hearts, I believe, as we share communion this morning. It is a time of unity because we are together as the body of Christ. That he is our Savior. We are in this family of his. It's a time to recognize and maybe receive afresh, or for the very first time for somebody here, to receive the love of Christ. Some lives. Christ's death is the highest expression of God's love towards us. But it is a time, and it's an opportunity of examination, just to take stock, to say, where am I? Each one of us should examine our own hearts. Just take a time to do that this morning as we come to share. And if there are things that you need to put right before God, and do it. If there's things that you feel you need to put right with people, well, make an intention at least to do it, even if you can't physically do it at this moment. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time to bring our own thanks. It's a time of witness. As we gather and we do this, we are witnessing to the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's a powerful thing. But I also believe it's a time of blessing. God's desire is to bless his people. And when we come in obedience, we open the door to God's blessing in our lives. I'm going to invite the musicians to come back. We're going to go in a few minutes into a time of worship. Andy's going to lead us, and then we're going to share communion, and we'll be given instructions with that in a few minutes. But I believe the Apostle Paul had a great appreciation for communion. His understanding did not come because he was familiar with a practice per se, but he says, "For I have received from the Lord what I passed on to you." And there's a sense we can share as much as we can from the front, we can bring encouragement as we do, but actually each one of us in this room needs to receive from the Lord. Each one of us needs the revelation of the truth of who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and what he has done. Each one of us needs a personal revelation of the love of God for ourselves. And my prayer today is that, Lord, as we come together and share in communion, that, Lord, you would reveal your love afresh to each one of us across this room. For some, that might be for the very first time. For some, it may be something that we've experienced and appreciated many times before. But my prayer is today, as we share, that his love would be revealed again to each one of us. And I'd love to pray, and I'd love us all to pray, actually, a very simple prayer that many of us would probably have prayed when, like me at the age of 9, asked Jesus to forgive me of anything of sin in my life and to come and be my Lord. And we're going to put some words on the screen, and I would invite you to stand with me, and we're going to go and go straight into some worship, Andy, if you can do that. But I'd love us to pray this prayer together. And say, Lord, would you come? Would you stand? God in heaven, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins and the things that I've done wrong in my life. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised to life so that my sins could be forgiven. I now turn from my sin and receive your forgiveness. Thank you. From this moment on, I commit to follow Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Please now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen.